Okay, on, on, on.
Is that new age, okay?
Fine.
Are we on? Should we start?
No, you're on. You should be on.
Okay. Very, very good morning. Mr. Shem will be speaking about two points. A bit about Shavuos Kabbalas HaTorah and Luz, the Limud of Chesed. Regarding Shavuos Kabbalas HaTorah, there's an idea which Shem Pinkas Echzad Kavach used to speak about, and actually my father Shlita would also like to speak about. And that is that some people make a mistake, and they think that Shavuos is about learning the Torah. Learning the Torah. But Shavuos is about the mitzvah of learning the Torah. The reality is, Shavuos is about celebrating the fact that we have the Torah. It might sound like a small difference, but the Rabbi Shlita is giving the following example, which puts it very strongly in the Torah, very puts it in the stark reality. You go to a chasna, Mr. Shem. Then what happens is, the chasna is an hour celebrating, dancing and singing. What are you celebrating? That they're married to each other. What's marriage? So every person will have their own definition, but some people will say that the husband has to provide for the wife has to look after the husband. So imagine that instead of going to the chasna goes off to work, and nowadays takes out his smartphone and starts doing his business deals, and the wife goes to do the washing. Sounds like amazing, isn't it? Really special in the day. They're showing the devotion already from day one. And the answer is no, that's not so special. Now it's a time to celebrate the fact that you actually have the schus of being able to marry each other. That is what you're doing. Now, if there's opportunity to help each other, if there's a bit of food and one needs to pass the jug or something to each other, or pass a portion or help each other, and they don't, then that's no good at all. But they're not supposed to be rushing off to go and do the washing or to go and find business deals to provide. That's not what they're doing. Now it's a time to celebrate and to rejoice about the fact that they have the schus of getting married to each other. That is the avodah. On Shavuos, if a person has the opportunity to learn and doesn't, then that shows a certain zilzul in Torah. But that's not the ikar avodah. The ikar avodah is that Shavuos is a time when we're celebrating, rejoicing about the fact that we're Baruch Hashem bin Zircha to have the Torah, that we are the ones that the Shavuos spoke to. That is the avodah of Shavuos. It's a tremendous avodah to be mispoiled and how lucky we are, how special we are that we have Torah. The Chazanish writes that even though Kavodat Torah is only one of the 630 mitzvahs, it is the foundation for which all of Torah relies on. All of Torah relies on it. Today there's a very nice story, so in a couple of places. Mechon Wasserman, Zechitzad HaKadosh Levocha, Rosh Shiva Baranovich, used to go collecting for his yeshiva. And one of the wealthy addresses he had was something called Binyamin Benish Dennis. He lived in the city called Kharkov, which is in the middle of Russia. And he used to go collecting by him, and he always used to give him very generously. Then one time, he got there, it was raining, and there were no pavements, no roads. He was covered in mud, his boots, his trousers, his clothes, was covered in mud. And this was a wealthy person. And he had couches, carpets, rugs. So he decided, instead of going through the front door, knock on the back door, knock on the kitchen door, that way to avoid making so much mess. And when he walked in, and this Ben Benish said to him, "You're ruining my daughters, you've ruined my daughters." He said, "I don't even know who your daughters are, never mind, I've ruined them." So he said, "I've always taught them, there's nothing more important in this world than Torah. There's nothing more beautiful than the Talmud Chacham. There's no bigger schus than having the Talmud Chacham come to our house. How lucky we are that they come. And now, by you knocking on the back door, what you've gone and done is, you've undermined that message. You've shown that the carpet, the rugs, the couches are more important." So he said, "What should I do?" He said, "I want you to come back, go through the front door." So he went through the front door with all his muddy boots and his shoes, and he sat down on the couch. Now what's very interesting, even that half of the story itself is very powerful, but what happened in the end? And when the communists came, they took absolutely everything away from him. They didn't leave him with a penny. But he had two daughters. One of them married his son, Sorotsky, and one married a different Rosh Hashiva, and the Rosh Gifter was his grandson. From this one person, over I think six Rosh Hashivas of America are descended today, Stein and others. The reality is that a person has to be machshav to show that who is choshev. That is the avodah of shuas. It's not so easy. It sometimes might be easier to go and learn than to actually awaken within oneself a tremendous simcha and joy that we have Torah, to be excited that we have Torah. Mr. Kudner writes in that what happened was, he once, when he went to yeshiva, in those days he didn't come home for many years. He once wrote to his mother that the position is finishing the second Rav Kama. So she wrote back to him that she bought herself a new outfit, also something that only used to do every few years in those days. And she's not going to put it on until he writes to her that he has finished the Masechta. When he finishes the Masechta, then she will celebrate by putting on this new outfit. It was, a way, it was an avoid of showing that Torah is special. I'm going to show another instance. Shmuel Pinker said, very interesting, I don't know where he gets it from. He said that one time he fell asleep, and over Gemara, and he fell before asleep, especially sitting upright, he started dribbling. Some liquid started dribbling from his mouth. And it fell on the table, and it was very off-putting. And his mother came in and she said, with that dribble, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mechai ha'nesim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take it. There's a chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used tal, Jew. But she said, with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mechai ha'nesim will bring the dead back to life. It's with that the Christ soul will be saved. She was showing him that Torah is important, even the things around Torah is important. That is the avodah of Shavuos, to show that Torah is the chashivus of Torah, that is everything. And it's not just about being mechabed to the chachamim. It's being mechabed the moments of learning that a person has. Remember, Parshas Bamidbar, Nos Ba'aloyischa, they go on and on, very, very long. And one of the underlying messages is that they all camped around the Mishkan. And the pinnacle of the Mishkan was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was the Oren. Say to me, where do you live? I live on the eastern side of the Oren. Where are you? On the southern side of the Oren. Everybody faced towards the Oren. The Oren was the center. The Oren was the ikkar of the whole of Klal Yisrael. That was the camp of Klal Yisrael. That's the message of Bamidbar and Osoy, that we're all living towards and facing towards the Oren, all facing towards Mishkan. It's called that Torah. That's our avodah. That is our avodah for Shavuos. Shavuos is mamat haTorah. Singular is to show that we're rejoicing, and every person has to find to celebrate in their own ways. To demonstrate it in front of their children, to demonstrate it in front of themselves, that tremendous chus, that the zeicha, that we are the people that got the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the kudah that people sometimes overemphasize the kiman mitzvahs of shuls, and underemphasize the chashivus of the machshiv to the simchas to the chazal tell us that on shuls are converted to be on lochem. On Shavuos, a person has to work to make sure that it's also lochem to show that he's excited about Torah. Okay. I want to speak about Rus. My name spoke about this before, but it's always worthwhile to remind ourselves. Chazal say, Megillah Azu, Eimel Leitumah Betara, Leisav Leheter. It doesn't have that many halachas of Tumah Betara, which in those days was a very partial halacha. It doesn't have halachas of Yeridea, Leisav Leheter, but not a Nichtavah. Why was it written? The idea is Chon Shabim Lechassadim. Tell us the tremendous reward of those who do chesed. So I want to talk a little bit about Rus versus Elimelech. It's every time you think about it, Bemis is, it's almost impossible to fathom what went on over here. We have a person called Elimelech. Elimelech was a very great person. The Fosim says he was an Ish Choshev, a nobleman, descended from Nachshon Ben Aminadov, descended from Shevet Yehuda. He was the one that everybody expected to become the king of Klal Yisrael. Elimelech, Elai Melech. They thought to him would come the kingdom, that he would become the king of Klal Yisrael. He would be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. He would be the leader forever of Klal Yisrael. He was a very, very wealthy person, extremely wealthy. Chazal in the Medrash that he could have supported the whole of Klal Yisrael for 10 years, the entire leadership for 10 years. He had sons, Medrash says he had daughters, wife was expecting a child. He had flocks and cattle, and she says he had gemalim. He had all the different kinds of animals that a person would have in those days. And the Maisa, he lost it all. He lost it all. There's nobody alive today that is descended from Elimelech. Think about what that means. There's nobody alive today who's descended from Elimelech. It's finished. He died. His children died. He lost all his wealth. The Pasuk says, Vayomos Elimelech ish Nomi. Elimelech, the husband of Nomi, died. Malcolm explains, the only one that noticed that he was missing was Nomi. Had he died in Eretz Yisrael, he would have had a levaya, he would have had a huge event. Instead, he died a lonely, penniless person in Moav. And he had many excuses. We know the reason is because he left Eretz Yisrael, he had the opportunity to do chesed. That's what Rashi explains to us. And the Chazal gives us many excuses. Moav Abbas, according to one opinion that he says, that he was justified for leaving Eretz Yisrael. He was justified. The idea was that he did not daven for Klal Yisrael before he left. We're talking about a minute avei, or not about somebody that had no cheshbon and mabimads, maybe we should have shriftim, days of the judges. There was a certain amount of anarchy. There was no king. There was a bit of a matzah that we see in the shriftim. There wasn't such a strong central leadership. It was a bit like, you know, Middle Ages, where you had like different groups of roaming groups, and the people would be fighting each other. So there was a tremendous pachat, tremendous fear, that his money could be taken away from him. When there's a lot of poverty, theft goes up. So he had many, many excuses, and afterward he lost it all. The Pasuk says, normally tells him, "Ani meleo halachti, v'reka meshivani Hashem." Meleo is full. It doesn't say I had a lot. How big? Meleo means filled. She had every single thing that she could possibly want. Reka is empty. It shouldn't say I came back with less. I came back pochus. Or missing. I came back Reikom empty. I went full, meaning I had everything. I had the yichus, the best yichus, the best money, the most wonderful family, all the cattle and flocks that person may need. But Reikom, I have come back with absolutely nothing. And it's a very, very beautiful word from the Vilna Gaon. Reikom Eshivani Hashem. Hashem is Yudke Rovke. Yudke Rovke, we all know, is Bidas Rachamim. Elikim is Bidas Adin. And the obvious question is, she should have said, "Ani melei olachti v'reikom eshivani aleikim." Hashem, the midas adin pulled me back empty. I was punished. And he answers that there are two anhogas kibiyochel in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes he works with the sarachim, sometimes he works with the sadin. And sometimes a person is punished because of the sadin. A person does the sechil Shabbos chas v'shalom. He gets punished by the midas adin. But then there's always a counterbalance of the midas sarachim. And therefore the punishment is always limited, because you've got Midas Adin versus Midas Rachamim, so the punishment is always limited. But sometimes a person deserves to be punished by Midas Rachamim. V'reikom eshivani Hashem, the Midas Rachamim demanded that I should be punished. Why? Because by me leaving Eretz Yisrael, it showed a lack of rachmanas for Klal Yisrael. It put them down, made them feel weaker, made them feel less than. So the Midas Rachamim was to bear. And then there's no counterbalance, because there's no other rachamim that's going to save. The moshe would be that we've got a very compassionate person, and he sees his child being hurt. The actual compassion will arouse within the father a feeling of wanting to save his child. And then there's nothing that can help. So should I be olachti v'reikom eshivani Hashem v'dasa rachamim ostevia. That's why there was nothing left for me. So that is Elimelech, that is the story of Elimelech's life. Obviously, that Shmuel was dachting about Tzadik and Kechot HaSarah, that obviously he was, because he was such a big tzadik, Shmuel was particularly severe with him. But we see that a person had the opportunity to do chesed and left it, after the Shmuel took absolutely everything away. And on the other hand, we have somebody like Rus. Chazal tells us that Rus was in Akkar, she was bound, she was unable to give birth. She was a Giyavis. Giyavis is always, the Mon Kedushin tells us, is one of the lower levels of Rikhus. She wasn't born with Kedusha. Not only was she a Giyura, she came from Moab. Moab was a nation that was despised by Klal Yisrael. Ad kedei kach, that no man ever, it's not like a mitzvah in the Doimi, that after three generations allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. Moab, 100th generation of Moabi is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. There's a few psukim Tanakh, Melochim, where the Klal Yisrael talk about the Moabim, a nation which nobody wanted to have anything to do with them. They were a bit like the Nazis in Machshimam after the Second World War. Well, people looked at them as being like the lowest of the low. This is somebody who had nothing to do with it. They made Klal Yisrael, they almost destroyed Klal Yisrael with the Chet and Baal Poi, the chitzes that they used, the Averis they used, just to make Klal Yisrael do Averis. And she came from that nation. Ad Kedei Kach, that hundreds of years later, when David HaMelech is king, becoming king, there were people that suspected that he's not allowed to be part of Klal Yisrael because he's descended from Rus. She had the worst possible yichus There was nobody that had the worst yichas than us. She was not only Jewish, she came from the nation which was the super Jewish without Mount Kaiser. Hazal said that she had no money, matelachdo baderech, she walked barefoot. She walked barefoot every so often, some holidays. You sometimes, you know, you go to the beach or something and you take off a shoe and then you have to walk a little bit on some rocks and after about 10 yards, you're hopping around. They walked barefoot from Moyov to Eretz Yisrael. She walked, she had nothing. The apostles, v'atoyich v'atisba v'atoyisa, when Boaz gave her a meal, so she ate and she was satisfied. Says the Alshech, was the first time she had eaten a full meal in a long time. She had a meal. It was a chiddush that she got a meal. So she was penniless. No yichus, no children, no husband, nothing. And what happened was, she decided to do chesed, rus, shawas, or divrei chamoiso. She saw the words of her mother-in-law, and she listens to her mother. It's very interesting. The Nachas Yosef says that part of the chesed of rus was that she always says to Naomi, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. That's also a chesed, to take instruction. She wasn't a young woman. To take instruction, she was in her 40s when the story started, at least 40. And she says to Naomi, what you tell me to do, I will do. That's also a chesed, to accept. And what happens eventually is she marries Boaz. She has a son called Obed, who's the father of Yishai, the father of David. So she actually has a great grandson, David HaMelech, that wrote the Tehillim. That's the greatest reward that she had. And not only David HaMelech, Chazal tells us when Shlomo HaMelech became king, he set up a throne, Leima Maluchot, the mother of the royalty. Chazal said that was Rus. Rus saw Shlomo HaMelech becoming the king of the world, becoming the king over the Elohim as well, because David HaMelech had control over the upper worlds as well. Not only that, we know many many tzaddikim were descended from David HaMelech. For example, Yehuda HaNasi was descended from David HaMelech. Hillel HaZaken, Ravashi, many Ezra. Kimat, most of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, many of the leaders of Klal Yisrael were all descended from David HaMelech. And not just that, Melech HaMashiach, who will come Me'er Yomeinu, is descended from Rus HaMoyavim. So Rus ended up having everything. She got the greatest cover, the greatest yichus, the greatest money, the success. And so, why? Because she chose to do chesed. It's a tremendous limud of the chashivus of chesed. We also see that even people like Orpah that are thrown away from the story, the Chazal tell us because she shed 4 tears, because she walked 4 steps with her mother-in-law, therefore she was zeichet to 4 giants. 4 giants. We might not think that having a giant goddess was one of them. It's such a big reward. But you compare it to nowadays, it's like a Jewish woman today having a son as a president of the United States or having a son winning the Olympics, where for a Jewish person that could be a huge reward. That would be something that would make them very happy. Orpah did 4 small acts of kindness, and for that she was zeichet to tremendous tremendous success, tremendous Satad Ishma. There's one Nekuda, we spoke about this before, this one Nekuda I feel I saw more this year, is that many times people think of chesed as very, very big acts of chesed, huge acts of chesed. Right? Do something dramatic, save somebody's life, bring in a homeless person. The reality is, though, that avoid of chesed is to do chesed all the time, even if it's very minor. Minor acts of chesed are very special. And that's something which comes up quite a lot in Gilas Mus. Chaim Kafer Zecher Tzadik Livracha would often speak about this Nekudah. And what the Yetzirah does is, it tells a person to do something very, very big. I remember once he said that the Yetzirah tells a person that he should think, I want to die al Kiddush Hashem, and then come to the Beis Medrash. And because the window is open or closed, not be able to learn because it's too stuffy or too cold or too hot or something. Like, think big and then do nothing, That's the Ma'alech of the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah tells a person, do something small, even something very, very small. If a person does it the whole time, it has a huge effect. The Havdol, the person wants to run one day a year for all day, 120 miles, 50, 100 miles in one day, but the rest of the year not do a drop of exercise. Or eat 100 fruit in a day, but the rest of the year not eat nothing healthy, they will not be healthy from it. It doesn't work. The Havdol, when you want to grow something, the only thing that works is something which is done all the time on a regular basis. And that is the gadlus of the small acts of chesed. Small acts of chesed is something that can be done all the time. Let's give 2 examples. It's very striking. There's many examples. The pasuk says that when Boaz invited Rus to a meal, the pasuk is by yitzvot lokoli. By yitzvot lokoli. The word by yitzvot comes from the word svita, which means a pinch. He gave a pinch of parched grain. Parched grain. Nowadays we have all kinds of different kinds of condiments, and mash, and sweets, and toppings, all kinds of funny things. In those days they had much less of this. But one of the nice foods which people liked was parched grain. You take grain, you'd roast it, instead of grinding it and making flour, you'd roast it and eat it. I imagine, I've never eaten it, I imagine it probably tasted like roasted almonds or something like that. Roasted grain. And the pasuk says that during the meal, by Yitzchak lo koli, that Boaz reached over and he gave to Ruth a pinch of koli, a pinch of parched grain. Medrash says between 2 or 3 kernels of grain. How much kernels of grain do you think you can fit between your 2 fingers? Not many, can't think. It's not a huge amount. The pasuk tells us this, that every single year, for thousands of years, every Shavuos, Klal Yisrael get to hear them kila Shavuos, and we're told, but it's about Rokali, and he gave her a pinch of grain. The answer is, but that showed that he was thinking about her, making her feel comfortable, making her feel cared for. It's like sometimes you sit at a meal where you're not so comfortable, and somebody passes down the jug, or somebody passes the chrein or mayonnaise, or something like that. What happens is, it's a very small act, but what it does is it's this act where you care, where you show that you want to do something for the person, you're thinking about the other person. They are very similar to the girl Shmuel and the Bach, both are ma'arich about it, that when it comes back to Eretz Yisrael, to Musa Nomi, it says that Elach Noshneh, they both walked together. Versus, what's the chiddush to walk together? The pasuk says they both walked. Rashi tells us the chiddush is that Rus, who was a Giyoros, was equal in the eyes of Hashem, so normally that means it's a tzaddikus for many years, because somebody who's been cowed upon themselves to do mitzvahs is as great as somebody who's doing mitzvahs as long as you've got that commitment. That's how Rashi explains. The Gershon and the Bach, they have different explanations. They say that they made the effort to walk together. And each explains a slightly different nuance. That Normie, for example, was an old lady. So Rus could have walked faster and got to herself quicker and got to a place of settlement, a safe place, a place where there's food quicker, but she didn't. She slowed down to accompany Normie to keep her company. Another way around, the Bach says that Normie would not want to walk with Rus because Normie was a great woman to walk with her every year, it's not coveted. And she, on the contrary, she walked with her because she knew that she would be able to introduce her to people to tell her who she's with. But Telach Noshtem, it's a small act. It's like sometimes you're walking Shabbos morning. Sometimes they're walking ahead of you. So you walk a bit faster to walk with them, wish them good Shabbos, and to spend a minute or two talking to them. It can make a person feel that it's an act. It's a small, small act of chesed. Even that, the Navi is madgish. When the Navi, when he wrote Rus, he mentions even the smallest acts of chesed. I'm confident you should ask the question, why did Boaz not just take out his wallet and give Rus a huge, a nice donation? Instead, he does all kinds of ploys. He tells the workers, drop bundles of grain. And he said that you have to think about what's good for the recipient. Many times the person's thinking about how they can do chesed. They're not thinking what's good for the other person. It's a very nice word, Rabbi, you and me, b'nei v'ischo. A poor people should be the household, people in the household. Well done, but no mention of it. That some people, they have a guest, spend the whole time making them uncomfortable. Do you want another thing? They can make so much focus that what happens is the person feels more and more guilty for taking. Sometimes the person can say to somebody, b'nei v'ischo, come in, help yourself, you'll feel at home. They don't make this focus where they make the person feel that they're receiving all the time. They make them feel as if they're part of the family. The book All for the Boss, Rabbi Yosef Herman, a very beautiful story, is that one time the wife, Adol Herman, Mrs. Herman, said to her husband that our couch is very old, let's get a new one. So she says, he lay down and said, it's comfortable enough for the guests, it's okay. A couple of weeks later, Shiva came to stay by them. And for Shabbos, he was invited to Manhattan to a very wealthy family. And the wife, Mrs. Herman, says to him, you're never going to come back to this house because after being in such a beautiful house, you're not going to come to our run-down apartment. And he came back and went to Shabbos and he threw his suitcase on the floor and he lay down on the couch and he said, Shalom, being here is much nicer. So there, every time I touch something, I scared it would break. I feel made out of crystal and chandeliers. But over here, I feel relaxed. It was a matzav, that it is a matzav of, Chaim Kaufman said over this story, that there was once a group of Boy Scouts, it's an organization where they try to act so chesed and things like that. So one time the leader said to the boys, go out to do something good and then come back and we'll then start the meeting and tell us about it. Anyway, one child comes back after 10 seconds, he did something small, carried some shopping. One came back after 5 minutes, did something, picked up a litter. One child comes back after half an hour, puffing and panting. He said, what did you do? Helped the old person across the street. So, very nice, but you look very exhausted for such a small act. He said, you think they wanted to cross the street, I had to pull them across, puffing, screaming and shouting. Person's going to be too focused on how they are doing chesed and not thinking about how it's good. And it's murder if you look in the beginning. A had a very, very careful boyas and even Rus, very geschmack in the kudim. And Rus comes back to Nomi the next morning. She says that the brain that Boaz gave, he said, don't come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. He never said that. He gave it to her. But she said, no, he thought of you when he was giving this brain. I just want to finish off with a word from the Shem Shmuel. It's an unbelievable word. You see it inside the Pashat, it's Pashat Bamidbar, on Gilas Rus. And it's a murder of words. It's hard to... I put it in one of my swan, and the editor said to me, you can't put it in, because it's... I still kept it in. Shimish will ask the kashya when Rus come back from Eretz Yisrael with Nomi. Nomi says to him, Nomi says to her, Rashi brings it, that you should know that if you come and get Yoyos, there's many halachas, right? You're not allowed to go out to Chum Shabbos, it's the Yichud, there's Abu Mrs. Beistin, there's Kinder Sofer Eg Bechedek. So she says, Rashi to Rus, almost the Shomei Kove, whatever you do, you do. Ask the Shem Shmuel, why did she answer? The way you die, I will die. If you have skill, so I get skill or strength or whatever it be. Why would she not answer? What would be a much easier answer? I'll make sure not to get the death penalty. It's not that hard. To get a death penalty is extremely difficult. You have to have a swore. It has to be Tuchdei Dibro. You have to have Aiden. It has to be amazing. And you have to say the right aswar. She could have said to Nomi that you're telling me that it's going to be skill, I will not get skill. I will make sure not to have skill. That's what she could have answered. It's great. If you say to somebody, you keep coming yid, there's chiyuv visa. Okay, so then if I get death, I'm not going to get the death penalty. Try and make sure not to get it. It says the Shem Shmuel, what Rus said to Nomi was like this. Even if as a yid, I fail, and I become the worst possible yid, the one that deserves the worst of the punishments of Beis, which is skill, after became is kedai to become a yid. It's kedai to become a yid. Because a yid is like, is a marshal of a yid, a child. However naughty they are, you'll always love them more than somebody else's child who's very well behaved. And that's going back to the nekudah we started off with. We started off with a brit of shavuos. Besides, obviously, the limud ha-Torah mitzvahs, the ikar is to rejoice about the fact that we received the Torah, to be excited that we are the Am HaNivcha, we are the Am Segula. About if a person learns on shavuos, it's a wonderful thing. But if he forgets that, he's missed the ikar nekudah. Shavuos has to be a time when we prove, we show, we demonstrate the excitement that we are, the world of Zerich and Baruch Hashem to come here. The John's on.